We are once again here gathered in our Father's house to spend some time with him. And, you know, one of the most amazing things that we don't even think about every day is what's not here in the front of our sanctuary. And that's a veil separating God from us because Jesus came. And when Jesus died on the cross, he said that the veil represented him. And since his body was broken, the veil was torn in two, and we can actually approach God ourselves. Such a miracle, because the sins that once impeded us and kept us from being able to be in his presence have been wiped away, and we are his children. So folks, let's begin our worship service remembering the day that all of this became true for us, the day we were baptized and brought into the faith. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray, friends. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you so much that you have made a way for us to approach you, that we can be your children, that we can talk to you, Lord, as our Father, that you are the divine God, the creator of everything, and that you love us as your children. Lord, I pray that you would help us, that you would send your Spirit to work in our hearts and minds, that we may understand your truths, what we're going to be studying in your word today, and that we would be able to return praise and thanksgiving, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us now stand as we confess our sins and receive forgiveness from God himself. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we once again have been forgiven. We have been restored into that baptismal relationship where we are new and clean in his presence. Let us return praise to the God who has done such great things.
Thank you. Before we sing our next song, as we've been talking about, we're always trying to highlight a particular hymn. And for the month of November, that hymn is How Great Thou Art. And again, just want you to think about the words as we sing them. And to think about that today, millions across the world continue to sing this beautiful song, giving God all praise, glory, and honor for who he is, the creator of this universe.
Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's. Who looked ahead and saw the title of today's sermon? Anybody? Well, go ahead and look now if you have a bulletin. And everybody take a collective sigh. Oh, is that what he's going to talk about today? Yeah, that's what he's going to talk about today. I recently turned 35, and to celebrate, I quipped on my social media that I was going to run for president because I'm eligible now. I listed off my platform. I'm going to slash the national debt, healthcare, and college for everybody for free. I'm going to feed the hungry, and I went on because that's what the politicians tell us, right? They're going to do all these things. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing how Pastor Bob's going to teach us to respect that authority among our parents and other authority in our life. So with all of that said, let's hear the first reading, and then we'll let him talk to us about that. From Psalm, the 93rd chapter, verses 1 to 5. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up. Lord, the seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, kiddos, it is now time for the children's message. So if you guys would come forward at this time, our wonderful principal, Mr. Denning, has the message for us today.
How come he didn't rise when I came in? Oh, well. Good morning, boys and girls. Who do you think I am?
Mr. Denning.
No, I'm not Mr. Denning today.
Cocoa principal.
I'm the cocoa principal?
Santa Claus.
I'm not Santa Claus, no. I'm a king. Yeah, in the first reading, they talked about a throne. And in the second reading that the parents are going to hear, and grandparents are going to hear, they're going to talk about being a king. Well, when I think of a king, I think of a great Disney movie called The Lion King. Have you heard of that movie? Have you seen that? Have you watched it?
Yep.
Yeah, in that movie, there's a young lion called Simba who wanted to be born king of the beasts. And Simba sings in that movie, "I just can't wait to be king," because Simba was anxious to become king because he didn't want anyone to tell him what to do. Wouldn't that be great to be king and nobody can tell you what to do? No?
No.
Well, I think it would be great. He also wanted to tell everyone else what to do. Oh, I would love that. I would love to have the power to tell everyone what to do.
No, it would be greedy.
It would be greedy?
There's
the point of my message. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus came to be our king. But he wasn't king of the earth. He was king of heaven. He was king of heaven in that. So we want to be just like Jesus, to be part of heaven. Jesus can't wait to be our king because he's coming soon on Christmas. Can we pray about that, please? All right, let's fold our hands, please, for prayer. Repeat after me what I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to be our Lord and King. Help us today and every day to honor him, obey him, and follow his will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks, boys and girls. Pastor, you're up.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Oh, I love it. That's very good. All right, kids, it is now time for a little worship. Four-year-old through fourth grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle. And the rest of you guys, let us open up our Bibles today. The sermon text for today is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I urge then, First of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving may be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Prayer is an interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, I was looking on the Google thing, you know, looking at different ideas on prayer, you know, and what people are saying about prayer out there. And there's a lot of different ideas about prayer. Even when you like limit to the Christian world, lot of ideas about prayer. And sometimes I saw a few Bible studies on prayer that talked about, you know, how do you really reach out to God and get his attention so that he will answer your prayer and give you the thing you want. So what do we think about that? That's kind of an interesting take on prayer. Kind of starts with some unusual presuppositions, conceptions of God, right? I mean, the idea that God is like somehow asleep, not paying attention, you know, not desiring to give you the things that you need, is that the God we know? I mean, not so much, right? I mean, the God that we know is the God that didn't wait for us to come to him, but came to us, right? That he sent his word to his people through prophets for thousands of years, and then finally he came himself into this world to redeem us because he knew exactly what our need was. And he redeemed us, he taught us, and then he left people in charge that were going to be able to continue to teach from his word so that we would know what his truth is. We have a God who, right before he went into heaven, turned around to his disciples who he was leaving behind, but he said, listen, I'm not leaving you. Number one, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and the number two, I will be with you. So is this a God who is uninvolved in our lives and kind of sleeping, not paying attention, requiring us to... It almost feels like, you know, like, remember Elijah on the top of the mountain where he was, you know, the priest of Baal were trying to get their God to send down fire. And, you know, Elijah was like, maybe you need to be louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on a trip, you know. And they were cutting themselves and doing all these things to get their God's attention. And did any of it work? Well, no, because their God doesn't exist. But the thing is, do we have to do that kind of stuff to get our God's attention? Do we have to say just the right prayers, just the right words, and just the right order with just the right amount of discipline? And if we say the prayers over and over again in just the right way, are we going to get what we want? That's presupposing God is somehow not a very good father, you know? I mean, that's what a bad father does, right? Give in to the kids, give them whatever they want so that they shut up and go away, right? That's not a good father. A good father has good gifts for their children, know exactly what their children need, and are very interested in giving the children what they need, even if it's not what they want, because he knows that they need to be raised as his, you know, his. He wants them to be competent, strong people who are able to manage society and have a deep faith in God so that they're able to do God's work in the world. And so, you know, that sounds more like God. And so, you know, we're getting a little bit of teaching here on prayer today. And so let's look at what Paul is saying. Now, Timothy, this is a pastoral epistle. Remember, we get on a whole bunch of these different epistles. This is a pastoral epistle. Basically, Timothy was like a young pastor. Paul would like roll through and make a whole bunch of churches, and then he would leave people behind that would kind of oversee the ministries of these churches. And basically, Timothy was like Paul's representative to the local pastors that were trying to manage these churches. And so he was sending a letter to Timothy to encourage him and to remind him of what the most important parts of ministry are. And this is in the context of that letter. And so he says this, I urge then, first of all, first thing I'm urging, priority number one, that all petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for who? All people. Okay, now tell me this, is anybody excluded in all? Okay, very good. So if they are a person, we are supposed to be praying for them. You understand this? Okay, not people that we like, not people that make good choices, not people who have our same background or see the world the same way we do. Who do we pray for? All people. All right. Then let's talk about all these words, because, I mean, he could have just simply said, I want you to pray for all people, but he didn't. He kind of used a whole bunch of extra words here, and I think it was all very intentional. In fact, I know it was. He says, I want petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. All right, this is one of those places where words fail us. When you're trying to translate, when you're trying to go from one language to another language, there's a lot of places where you just don't get equal words in both languages. They just don't match. And these are words that are synonyms, right? You guys remember that? Words that have similar meanings, right? But they have different connotations. You know what that word is? It's like this. The difference between aroma and stench. They have similar meanings, but very different connotations, right? You see the difference? All right, well, that's what these are. These are different. These are words that are telling us and telling us, here's how I want you to pray. And you know, with God, again, does it come down to a behavior he wants, or does it come down to the heart that he wants us to have as we come to him? It's all about the relationship, right? And so, you know, Jesus, basically God's saying, listen, if you got the right heart, the prayer is going to be right. That's going to be fine. It's the, let's work on the heart. And so let's talk about this. So he says, he starts out with petitions. I urge that that petitions be made for all people. And what this word is getting at is the needs that we have. Petitions are the part of a prayer. You know, like we'll have a petition in our prayer that's going to talk about the government, a petition in our prayer that's going to talk about the military members, a petition in our prayer that's going to talk about the sick. We're going to have a petition in our prayer that's going to talk about families and children. You know what I mean? We kind of divide it up into sections of the prayer. Well, what this is getting at is saying, listen, I want you to bring people's needs to me. Why is that so important? Because who is the only one in control? I mean, if we need to feed, if we're praying that the poor people in the world would be cared for, is that something you can do all by your lonesome? Not even if you're Jeff Bezos. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that is a God-sized job to do. Now, can we do part of it? Can we help somebody? Well, absolutely we can. But when we're praying that God would do something huge, we have to acknowledge that it's not about me and my ability and my strength. That the reason I am bringing this need to God is because he is the source of all good things. And then we start thinking, well, wait a minute, do I really have the ability to even help in the small ways? And the answer is, well, yeah, but only because God has blessed me with the things that I have that I can use as a resource to help somebody else. So even the things that we say, look, I can handle that. Well, yes, but that even means you can only handle that because God made you able to handle that. So again, it comes back to God anyway. So everything comes back to God. And that's what we need to understand as we enter into the prayer time is, listen, he has it, we don't. I mean, he's God and I'm not. He has everything and all the power and all the riches and all the ability to fix all things. And I'm just a person with very limited abilities. And I'm going to utterly depend on him. And that starts to get our brain in the right place for talking in prayer, because at that point, we're not coming and saying, well, God, you know what? If you give me this, I'll give you that. I mean, yeah, go ahead. Give God something he doesn't have. He owns you. What do you want? Right? What do you? You can't give him anything. You can't bargain with God. He's God. And so we come to him humbly, knowing that we are empty, that we have nothing of ourselves, and that we are utterly dependent on him. And it is a beautiful place to begin our prayer. Got that? Next thing, prayers. This is a word that's talking about getting at the idea of humility. We are Americans. We are almost by nature very unhumble. All right? We believe in freedom of speech, and I do. I think that's a wonderful thing, but we bridge the freedom of speech directly into my answers are better than yours, right? I mean, because I'm really, really smart, and I really understand what's going on out there, and let me tell you the best way to fix it, and it's going to be my way, right? And are there good ideas out there? Sure, but how much do we really know? And you know, the thing is that unfortunately we approach God this way too, is that we'll come to God and we'll say, God, listen, I have a problem, but I got all the answers on how to get it fixed. And here's what I need you to do. And we like trot out a list of things that we want God to do for us. And if God takes care of those things, then we've got it under control again. Thanks a lot. I'm good now. Is that the relationship God has with us? You know, is that what God describes? And it's simply not. The whole idea is that we don't know, and he does. And we struggle with this because we know that we see somebody who's suffering, who's sick, who's you know, not doing well in life, and we pray, God, please heal them, because that's obviously the answer, right? But is it always the answer? Not always. Well, then we say, well, why not? And I say, I don't necessarily know. Is that a problem? Let me let you in on a secret. There's a whole bunch of stuff I don't know. You know, and it comes back to the whole God thing, right? He's God, I'm not. He knows, I don't have to know. And we got Hezekiah, remember this guy? King, Old Testament. God came to him. He's a good king. And God came to him one day and said, Hezekiah, get your stuff in order. I'm about to take you to heaven. And Hezekiah freaks out and says, God, please don't. Let me live. I want to live. And God says, okay, fine. I'll give you another 15 years. They were the most miserable years ever. He would have been so much better off if he would have just submitted to God's plan. God was trying to save him from having to go through the judgment that the children of Israel needed at the time. You know, it's one of those things where we think we know. But coming into prayer, it's really, really essential that we say, I don't have all the answers. So far what we've covered is, I don't have anything, right? I'm empty. Unless God gives me, I have nothing to share. And on top of that, I don't know anything. And until God tells me his will, I don't have answers. Okay? We're heading into a good place here. Okay, here we go. Next one. The intercessions. This is a great one. Now, what this word is getting at is this. It's getting at the idea of us being able to approach God as our Father. I remember like the first, or the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? God would, by these words, tenderly invite us to believe that he is our true Father and we are his true children, so that we may, with all boldness and confidence, ask him as dear children ask their dear father. Isn't that cool? That's small catechism. That's Luther telling us how it is God wants us to be approaching him. And here's the thing, is that think about it like children, right? What do children have to offer? I mean, smiles and I love yous and hugs and all those wonderful things. But when it comes down to the pragmatic, practical stuff of life, send your 5-year-old out to change the oil on the car. Good luck with that. That'll be fun. Just don't let the car fall on them. You know what I mean? It's just like crazy. I mean, it's like they got nothing practically to offer. You ask them to wash the dishes, they'll break the dishes. You know what I mean? It's just how it goes. And it's a really good metaphor for us. We don't have anything to offer God. How much do children know about how to fix the problems of life? Well, they have very, very simplistic views about life, and their answers, oh my goodness, years ago, the kindergarten class was asked how to cook a turkey. I loved that thing. It was so adorable. So it was like, okay, how big of a turkey do you buy? And they have to give a weight. And I mean, it was everything from 75 pounds to whatever. And then it's like, okay, and what temperature should we have the oven set at? And they said 3,000 degrees or 5 degrees. You just don't know. It's going to be anything. And then how long do you need to cook the turkey? And it can be days. You know what I mean? You just don't know. It's just, the thing is that the kids don't bring a lot of knowledge to the game. And isn't that just like us? But one thing the kids do know, they know where to go for help. When they fall down and skin their knee or, you know, smush their face into the pavement or something, they know where to go for help. And they don't always have to wait for the help to come to them, because we're coming screaming out the door if we see them fall down, because we love them. And we know more, and we have what they need. And this is what God is for us. That when we pray, that we do not pray with pride. We do not pray with assuming such that we have all this understanding. We don't come to God assuming that we have something to offer him. That we don't come to God even assuming that he is not favorably disposed to giving us the things we need. We come to him knowing who he is. That if Jesus came to this world to die for me, won't he take care of the little problems of my life? If he suffered all of that, doesn't he love me enough to be watching out for me and to know what I need? And then he says, I want you to bring your thanksgivings to God. And you know, the thing is that I really believe that if we approach prayer with this heart, the thanksgivings are going to become very simple. I think the reasons that we complain is because we're not praying to God with the right heart. We're praying to God with a preconception of how things are supposed to be and how they are not that way, right? Like, I have been praying for a 1966 Mustang convertible for 40 years now, and I still don't have it. Now, God, if you ask my wife why I don't have it, it's because I'm a terrible driver and I would most likely kill myself. But don't ask my wife. Just give me the Mustang. Anyway, but the thing is that God knows what's best for us. And we look at life and say, well, what, you know, like Tevye on Fiddler on the Roof, right? If I were a wealthy man, would it foil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man? And the answer is, well, no, but what will it do to you? And God knows what you can handle. And he loves you too much to give you things that'll be poison to you. And we just have to trust that he knows what we need. And you know, honestly, it's amazing because, you know, there's a long part of my life that I lived very poor. Going to seminary with three kids, it's not easy, you know, except that I didn't have anything to do with it because God just provided. But every day we didn't know where the next thing was going to come from, but God just provided. And it was amazing that how your faith and confidence in God grows when you live literally waiting for him every single day. And when you come to him with that kind of, like, I really have nothing, and I really don't know, every single thing that he provides is a miracle. It's fabulous, it's amazing, and you start to realize what it means that God is the giver of such beautiful, good gifts. And the thanksgivings just come pouring out because everything is a gift from God. Your family, your house, even if it's old and, you know, the plumbing breaks and stuff, it doesn't matter. It's still an amazing gift. Even though the car breaks down, it doesn't matter. It's still an amazing gift. So now let's talk about the praying for our leaders. With our hearts changed, coming to God with nothing, with no ideas, with nothing to offer, with humility, knowing that He knows better than we do. Who are we not to pray for the leaders that God has given us? Who are we to complain about the leaders that God has given us? I mean, don't you know that we want every leader in our government, every leader in our church, every leader in the schools to be successful, to make good decisions that will benefit the people that God has given them to lead? And so rather than tear people down, wouldn't it make a whole lot more sense to engage with them? And the thing is that you know how it is, right? If somebody approaches you with a bunch of anger and, you know, venom, how likely are you to change your mind? Right? I mean, when somebody comes at me that way, I dig in. You know, it's like, it's just human nature. You just dig in, right? Well, the thing is this, well, you got to know that that's going to be the way it'll happen there too. And what happens instead if we approach them? How about we do it God's way and speak the truth in love? You know, don't compromise on truth. Say what you got to say. But to do it with kindness and gentleness and assuming good intentions. And knowing that we can't change hearts, pray to God who can change hearts. Does the Spirit do that kind of thing? Every day. And acknowledge that, you know what, even a really, really bad leader is a whole lot better than no leader. You know? That chaos and mayhem that happens with lawlessness is way worse than laws we don't like. And acknowledge that there's a God who has been in charge of history since time began. He hasn't lost control. And so instead of being prideful and criticizing the gifts that God has given us, let's be humble and pray to God. Speak truth in love. But let's be people of love. On Monday, Thursday, Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "Love one another. As I have loved you, I want you to love one another. And this is going to be the sign by which people are going to recognize you as my disciples, that you love one another." I think God kind of thinks that's important. Yeah. We live in a crazy day. But I think it's really important for Christians to be part of the solution. Don't compromise on truth. Speak in love. Pray humbly. And pray for everybody, especially our leaders. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you that you have made us your children, Lord, and that you place us in this world to walk out the truth that you have given us, Lord. The fact of our being saved and the fact of you revealing truth to us and the fact of us knowing what your will is. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to speak that truth, but to do it in love. That we would be able to speak that truth and at the same time humbly, Lord, pray for the gifts, the people that you have given us, Lord, the leaders you have given us, even though they're far from perfect. But we pray for them because they're far from perfect, so that all of us can be blessed through their work. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is time to continue our worship. And so let us sing the next song. And as we, this is the time of the service where historically, and I mean like 2 years ago, we would do the offering. And I just want to remind everybody that we are still collecting the offering, even though we don't do it in the service. But there's those boxes out in the back lobby where we can drop them off. It just still seems a little unwise to be handing the plates back and forth throughout the entire congregation. So that's why we're not doing it yet. All right, with that, let us sing praise to our God. Friends, we have a God who came to us, revealed himself to us. Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father who sent me. He told us so much about his disposition toward us. Explain the scriptures to us so that we can know who he is. Let us confess the God who has revealed himself to us this morning. Please stand. We confess together. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, and we thank you that you have made it possible for us to approach you, Lord, because of the death and resurrection of your Son, the faith that the Holy Spirit gives us by which that forgiveness is received, and the amazing blessings that you give us, Lord, the gift of baptism where we are brought into your family, the gift of your word where we are taught your will, and our faith is nurtured through the work of your Holy Spirit, and then through this amazing gift that we're about to receive of Holy Communion, by which we receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that you have promised to your people. Lord, I pray that you would help us send your Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we may eagerly receive these gifts, and that we wouldn't miss them, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the people in our church. Lord, especially we pray for little Alex Teuscher, Lord, who's still struggling with pneumonia in the hospital. We pray for Darwin Krause, Lord, who just came home from the hospital, is recovering, but still, you know, they're still working on getting his medicine straightened out. And also for Pastor Schutte, Lord, who's in the hospital. I pray that you would continue to be with them and their families, Lord, during this time, that you would give them wisdom and peace, mostly peace, that they may have confidence in the fact that you are in control, that you know all things, and that you give good gifts to your children. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with those who are doing ministry. Lord, it's been a really interesting couple of years, and ministry has not been easy. I pray that you would continue to encourage and uplift all those who are working in your fields, Lord, teaching your message, serving your people, that they would continue to have the energy and ability to hope move forward and to continue in their work. Lord, you are the one who never runs out, and Lord, you empower us. So help us, Lord, as we do your work. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless each and every one of us, Lord, with all the needs that we have in ourselves and our families and our communities. You are the answer to all of our needs. You are the one who has all strength. All this, Lord, we bring to you today, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you. stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a breath, to bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
I'm coming back to your heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, but it's all about you.
Truly, we have a great God, a God who loves us so much that he made this meal possible for us, that he didn't wait for us to come to him, but he came to us with this gift. He pulls us up to his table and he says, eat, feast, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation that he has won for us. And so as we have enjoyed this gift this morning, as we have grown with this gift, as we have been blessed deeply with this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And as we go our way today, God wants you to leave with his blessing. And so here it is. May the grace of our God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, May the grace of God, the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the presence of our Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
Forever, he is good.
is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever.
Have a seat. I've got a few things to say. No. All right, just a few announcements as we go our way today. First, Club 456, which is 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. We made it really, really hard to understand and remember. Is going to be today at 1:30 in the gym. They got pizza, games, and fun. Anybody doesn't like that, I don't know what to do for you. Anyway, okay, and then during Advent, we're going to have our soup suppers again. So different people are going to sign up and bring soups of their choice, and we get to all eat them, which I really like. Eating is good. Let's see here. And usually we have some set of salad out there too. Let's see here. Sign up at the Connection Center for bringing a dish. Advent is going to be, it's looking forward to Christmas and Jesus' first coming, and we're going to be celebrating it on December 1st and 15th on weekday. Yeah, Wednesday night services, and Pastor Dar is going to be preaching at those two services. We're also going to be having a Christmas program from the kids on the other Wednesday, so that'll be fun. We also, is it next Sunday is the two Sundays from now is the cantata, or the, is that what we call it, cantata? Whatever it is. Okay. Look, in memory a funny thing, I can recite the catechism to you, but I don't know basic words. It's just how life is. I don't.
Remember to get up for communion, so it's okay.
What's that? Okay, well, you know. Anyway. All right, so let's see here now. We also have a Christmas concert coming up December 18th at 7 p.m. in the Worship Center. So we've got lots of stuff coming up. So see you on Wednesday. Remember, you know, those the lepers that came, 10 were healed and only one came back to say thanks. Yeah, let's come on Wednesday and say thanks. God's blessed us in amazing and outrageous ways. It only makes sense that we take some time and give him praise for what he's done. So with that, God's blessings on your week. And I will, if anybody has individual prayer, we got an elder, looks like him. Yeah, he's over there. He's a really nice guy. I know him really well for many years. Well, I don't know what his name is. It's okay. No, it's Brian. He's a great guy. So if anybody wants individual prayer, Brian will pray with you. And I will see you in the back where I might not know your name either. Just...